ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this episode of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Hey, there we are in living color. Hey, thanks for joining us. Welcome again, everyone. This is from our radio and television studios in beautiful Northwest Pennsylvania, where we broadcast live each and every weeknight, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Global Star Radio Network, as well as BTR, and of course, on YouTube live. Yes, we are in living color. Don't adjust your sets. It's fun to be here. Of course, we've got two different websites. I just want to remind people, because it's so important. We have news that matters on HagmanReport.com and then Hagman and Hagman for the show. So there you have it. Simple as that. Subscribe to our social networking feed and, also subscribe to our YouTube channel. That helps elevate our visibility. We've got a great show for you planned. Hey, Joe's back. Junior's back. All right. he's been in and out of the office, working on different things, but, needing some of the nights free, and that's but glad I'm back. I'm Doug Hagman at the helm, of course, with fellow investigator Joe Hagman together, something I like to call America's premier father-son investigative team. So glad to be back with you. We got a great show lined up for you. The second half of this hour, folks, I got to tell you, there's that dust up over the intelligence. All right, there's something behind that y'all need to know. And we're going to be talking about that with Andrew Kerr. He has found some amazing information about that. And I must say that when I heard it, I had to really kind of hear it a couple of times and then really understand it. So, boy, tell everyone you know to listen to what Andrew Kerr has got to say. This hour is going to be a critical hour. And it's so critical, as a matter of fact. Yeah, I mean, news breaking hour.
And go to Andrew's website, thecitizensaudit.com. Pull up his latest article from yesterday. Yep. Is fake intelligence influencing decision makers at the highest levels of government? A fantastic article that will be posted on Hagman Report here in just a few minutes. But cue that article up to follow along in segment number two with Andrew Kerr right here.
Yeah, exactly.
And then in hours two and three, author and radio show host and pastor Brandon House from worldviewweekend.com will be joining us to talk about a number of issues from current events to other things that he's been researching and working on. So it's going to be an information-packed show.
Indeed, and I appreciate it. But, you know, yeah, John Rappaport's article on HagmanReport.com, definitely get into that. It's interesting because it gets into the, Joe, it gets into the precious metals, what's expected. You know, none of this economic stuff that we're seeing is really true, so that's a very important thing that we need to kind of look at.
Yeah, there's an article on Hagman Report from Stephen Manking.
Yeah, Stephen, great guy.
Weekly update, gold, silver, Bitcoin. This is an article from today talking about the what to expect in 2017 from precious metals to the different markets. And it's pretty eye-opening what he points out, and he's taking a little bit from other economists and what they're predicting. And one of the real interesting parts of this article I saw was how he talks about if gold was to be backing up all the currency and debt in the world, it would have to be over $100,000 an ounce.
$100,000, right.
Repackaged to back the current prices for all debt backed by gold would have to be over $100,000 an ounce.
And that's the thing. Just, you know, yeah, there's not enough gold, right? I mean, there's not enough mine gold that's above ground, or perhaps even below ground to cover the money that's in circulation. I mean, that's probably a wrong way to describe it, Joe. What do you think? But if the true value of gold were...
Yeah, that we know that the gold market has been, and the metals market in general, have been tremendously undervalued. And, you know, even the price of silver now, it costs more to mine the silver than it does, than what it's worth right now per ounce. And, I mean, there's a lot of different theories of thought out there of what's going to happen in 2017 and beyond with the economy. Some say that there's a, you know, another housing market and stock market bubble or reset that's coming. And when that happens, the prices of metals such as silver, gold, platinum increase tremendously.
That's right.
But history is not always an indicator of what's going to happen in the future.
Yeah.
So you just don't know. But the way things have been going, I mean, if you do look at history, like the Weimar Republic in Germany, at the end of World War One, you know, they were wheelbarrowing money to the stores to buy bread, but, you know, 20 ounces of silver could buy a whole city block.
Your grandmother used to talk, used to talk about those days. And she used to say, you know, one of these days, and I never really kind of, when I was young, I mean young, I never really understood what she was saying. She said, one of these days, you're going to need a wheelbarrow to buy groceries. And I remember her telling me one time, and this is when I was really young, Joe. You didn't know your grandma. She passed away before you were born. But I remember her telling me one time, she said, you know, one of these days, in your lifetime, Doug, you're not going to be able to get out of the store without spending $50.
Yeah. Try $150 today.
Oh, you know, and
it's crazy.
It's as we look at things, and folks, I'm troubled. I really am. I'm troubled because I did a video yesterday, and if you don't mind going to our YouTube channel and taking a look at that video, and
it's also on Hagman Report.
Yes, on HagmanReport.com. That's right. It's about the tactics of. You know, people attempting to silence the independent media. And the reason I did it, the reason I put it up yesterday, the reason I did it yesterday was because of that boy, that clock boy, on the day before the suit that his parents filed against Glenn Beck, as well as the Irving School District, was dismissed with prejudice. But What I've been seeing across the landscape, and Joe, we were talking about this, and Eric, we were talking about this. There are, you know, using the phrase fake news. Fake news has been equated now with things that, well, fake news is what Andrew Kerr is going to be talking about. But fake news is a big deal right now, and I think we need to.
Do you see the video of Trump calling the CNN reporter?
Yeah. See,
I thought that was good because.
How many people did? Tell people about that.
I think I saw this yesterday, but it's still trending on a lot of news sites today. Trump was giving a press conference, he was speaking at the podium, and there was a bunch of reporters there, and he got into an exchange with a reporter, and he's directing this other, I believe, female reporter to ask a question, but the CNN reporter, his name is Jack Abramoff I'll get his name. I got the article here saved. But the CNN reporter, who's pretty much dead ahead of him, you know, starts interrupting him and continuing to try to ask a question. And I'm not paraphrasing, but Trump basically said, you know, your organization's terrible. You are, you know, fake news. And just really shut him down. And part of the audience, you know, you could hear him clapping and you know, saying, yeah. And the guy put his head down and shook his head and sat down. But I think that was... it's pretty interesting to see a president-elect, president in a few days, calling out a major news organization for what they really are. I thought that was really important because all this fake news stuff is being lumped in on alternative media sites and main internet publications, and it's just not true. You know, most of the independent and alternative journalism, I believe, make sure that they are one step ahead of the mainstream media and one step ahead of making sure what they are reporting is true because they know what's at stake. They don't have the backing of these major corporation news outlets like Fox News, NBC, right. CBS. So, you know, it'd be like us putting out some kind of news that wasn't true on purpose, knowingly doing so. It's just not something that you would never do that. Right.
Because of not just the liability, but the reputation. And we take our reputation seriously. We take, obviously, the liability seriously. And, you know, we do go through a lot to verify stories. Sometimes we get snookered by, on occasion.
More me than anybody else. I've read a few, satirical articles on the show, and
but we've
have to come right back and let people know, you know, once you find out, the emails start coming in or you say something and,
But you know, I mean, those are really, those equate to relatively harmless issues. Issues that really those are just, as you said, more satirical in nature and ultimately harmless. But now this stuff with fake news about,
and this is Trump dossier and BuzzFeed. Yeah. Fox News has an article, why BuzzFeed's debacle damaged journalism and handed Trump a gift. But I believe Andrew Kerr's article takes a different approach, and we're going to hear from him in the next segment.
You and I spoke to Andrew before the show, and folks,
because there's a few different theories of thought, and you mentioned this during the call that I believe Trump is the one who, from the whole body that I was reading about all this this fake intelligence report, Trump and the different news places that didn't run the story and then the few that did, that Trump had something to do with disseminating some of this information to see where the leaks were coming from.
You know,
I don't think it's the biggest assault. I don't think it's going to carry over to the censorship of alternative media sites unless they're caught in the act of doing or disseminating, you know, false stories or false reports on purpose. I just don't see the mistake or purposeful.
You don't see the
fake
reason.
Stories.
No, I don't.
As equaling censorship across the board.
But what I do think is taking place here, and this is an assault on independent media. I think, folks, and Joe, I just want to appeal to you. I really think things changed right before the election, right around the time when Comey announced about the, right around October 3rd. I'll go with October 3rd. I think things when the WikiLeaks started releasing Podesta's emails, I think things changed in a very dark way. But here's the issue with the video, that you have to watch the video, because this shows you how, for example, Glenn Beck, whether you like him or not, it doesn't matter. Back when he was talking about the clock boy, for example, just going back to that for a moment, the clock boy's parents, Ahmed Mohammed's parents, sued Beck, the television station, the network, the school district, Irvine police, everyone that, you know, had a pulse, sued him for $15 million for defamation and for emotional distress and for all this. And, you know, it was ridiculous. And so, you know, it was Monday that the judge ruled that it was a baseless, meritless suit. So Tuesday is when we got is when the news really hit. And then I did the video based on that timing. And when I did that, when I was talking with other citizen journalists, Joe, this is something that we have to be careful, or that we need to really warn everybody about, is the independent media, you and I, Rick Wiles, right? True News.
Just about anybody others, that's not a major news network on,
right,
on cable TV. Or a publication in a major city that's been around for hundreds of years.
We're all under this asymmetrical warfare. We're all in the scope of the people who want to shut us down. And Andrew Kerr's got some really important information about this.
Yeah,
their tactics.
And he talks about, you know, different people and organizations trolling the intelligence agencies like the CIA.
Yeah.
Do you remember we got a call? And this caller laid out this real articulate plan of what was going to happen in the future. And then all of a sudden the next day, it shows up on like a U.S. Army communications thing where they laid out. And that's kind of like what's happening with the CIA. We get a call maybe in 2012, 2013
mm-hmm.
of a person in the military who had this information of, and he laid out point by point what's going to happen and where, like three different things. Well, the next day there was an intelligence briefing of communications in some form of the military that sent out the details of the call, what the caller said, what he laid out, and how the information was, you know, disseminated and talked about, which was kind of weird. I've never seen anything like that since, at least not from our show. But that came into my mind when we were talking with Andrew earlier.
Well, no, we do get off-air information.
Well, this was different. This was
that was really strange.
An army communication intelligence agency communication purposely called our show, gave us false information, and then outlined it in a report and sent it out to other agencies and branches of the military. And somehow that came back to us. I think it was posted on Before It's News back then. Also, the email was, and it was just very strange. And I thought of that today when we were talking with Andrew.
Well, and that's,
I want to go back and find that because kind of give people an idea of what can happen. When you're listening to other people or getting information from other people. And I think it was more of a, not a prediction thing, but people were calling in and explaining what they believe was going to happen in the near future. And somebody took advantage of that and used the opportunity to do some kind of military communication drill. And it was very strange.
It was, and I do remember that. We're going to have to dig that up, and because to reverse engineer something like that would also give light on what's taking place. Again, here I am again talking about fake news and the importance of it, but I think that's going to set the stage for, as Trump gets in office, and as he is fighting every step of the way the establishment and the people who are against him. It's not going to be an easy road. And I do think that the attacks on the independent media are going to increase despite the fact that we have Trump in office.
Yeah.
And maybe because we have Trump in office.
No, it is because, and you have a whole left-wing, democratic, liberal, brain aneurysm going on. And a lot of it is due to, the control and perception that they want the public to have about Trump. All these claims of racism and sexual assaults and everything that they try to throw at Trump and accuse him of has come out to be false. But it creates a false perception in people's minds that, this is why people are scared. They believe what they hear, that, he's a tyrant and, he's going to, it's like when Obama was elected and all these people who were somewhat racist, or maybe not racist in the sense, but not accepting the change, were kind of scared,
right,
at what they saw, and just on the perception of what they saw. Not, and there was enough to not like Obama about his policies and the people he was associated with, but they went on, the merits of the appearance and
right.
skin color to some degree. It's the same thing's happening, only this time it's a Republican who's in office, and now the liberals seem to be scared, or at least appearing to be so. And I believe a lot of it's based on the media laying out a false perception of who Donald Trump really is. Not that he's a good person or a great person. That's yet to be seen as far as his presidency. But people are getting misleading information from the major news networks on purpose to create, this continued division in the country along political lines.
Well, I just, if we do nothing else from this point, I mean, if there's no other message that we could send, I mean, if I knew this was my last broadcast with respect to only the geopolitics, the practical, the physical, stuff going on, I would just caution, again, spiritual aside momentarily. If somebody just asked me, okay, if this is your last broadcast about the landscape of the political and geopolitical stuff, I think the biggest thing that we need to watch out for as citizens in America and as citizens in the West, whether you live in or a Western country, it doesn't matter. I think what we have to watch out for is the things that you will never see coming. That almost sounds strange, but the attacks are going to come from places that you never thought that they would come from. And there's a reason for that, because they're most effective, of course, that way. But there's a control mechanism in there. It's ridiculous. But don't rest on the fact that Donald Trump's in office, because he's one man. Change is not going to come from the top down. It's going to come from the bottom up. It's going to have to involve all of us. And Joe, I know that you've been working on some good research materials, research projects, as I have. We all have been, and I think we're entering into a very dangerous time. Your thoughts, because we haven't talked much about the Trump, January 21st.
We got the inauguration.
Yeah.
I was just talking with Eric before the show. Rosie O'Donnell has come out and says that Martial law should be implemented to prevent the inauguration of Trump.
Well, that's a good idea. Sure. Yeah.
I mean, this is what it's coming down to. You know, these liberals and left-leaning people, or especially celebrities in some cases, people that said they were going to move to Canada or Mexico if Trump was elected, are still here, you know, making comments and whatever you want to call it. But to, you know, it just shows their true colors, what they're really like. To the point where they want to implement, you know, military, having the military patrol U.S. soil just to stop this man from becoming president. And Rosie O'Donnell and Trump have a history, which is not, it's like, what is it, oil and water?
I can understand
her having, you know, these, outrageous fantasies more so than other celebrities because they've, in the past, 15 years ago and till now have bumped heads, in the press and name called back and forth before Trump even was a politician or decided to run for president. But, there's a lot of people out there that, just, they wanted you to accept Obama. They wanted you to vote for Hillary. But now that Trump's in, they can't accept it. And you keep hearing the popular vote stuff. Hillary Clinton should be president because she won the popular vote. And, I don't know, you know, how much of this, you know, you got a lot of actors and Hollywood types coming out, you know, putting Trump down. And I wonder if how many of those are paid versus how many really feel that way and are saying that out of the, you know, their own feelings versus being told what to say.
It's my understanding, and we should ask John about this because he's been around the actors, and I've talked to a few. I don't dare name them. But who are truly conservative, they just don't say anything. I mean, there's two individuals I spoke with both males, very very conservative, and you'd know their names because.
But you see how the celebrities who are conservative are branded in Hollywood. Yeah. They're made fun of constantly by anybody or anytime they're brought up or their names are brought up. They're torn down. I mean, and people in Hollywood, especially the actors and whatnot, the people who are known, like you said, they won't come out and say that because you can literally make a list, maybe something this big of the actors who are conservative. Uh-huh. And if you watch any amount of TV, you'll catch a little hidden cues that they throw out there. They're made fun of and, you know, like Ted Nugent or, uh-huh. I mean, they're all branded as crazy and insane, but it's interesting to see there are some people in Hollywood that have come out in defense of Trump and have put down the constant complaining and name calling of the left. And I believe, I hope that after 8 years of Obama and heightened race relations, heightened, economic problems, that there will be some sort of taking a deep breath period, a relaxation, if you will, from all the tension that's been going on. But it's very possible that that won't happen just due to the way people feel about Trump, whether it's based on facts or not.
Well, exactly. And again, I would just urge everyone, please go to HagmanReport.com to take a look at some of the articles, John Rappaport, Stephen Menking, the guest contributors there, also Andrew Kerr, and he's coming up. Very interesting, very important information with respect to this, with what went on the last 48 hours with respect to this intelligence briefing. You've collected 35 pages plus backstory.
The actual briefing is available online. It's 35 pages long. It doesn't come off. I was surprised when I read this because it doesn't even look like an intelligence briefing. I've seen a few. And
right.
This is like it seems like segmented information just thrown together into a kind of crappy report.
Well, I think, and again, Andrew's going to have a lot to say about it. His research is stellar, I'm telling you, with respect to what he's done.
And he points out, the sources in this report, they're listed, source A, I believe, through F. Maybe there's more.
Right.
I think there's seven in total, but they're all anonymous. And
yeah,
if you read this report, you wait.
Yeah,
it's amazing. Sources A and B, a senior Russian foreign ministry figure and former top-level Russian intelligence officer, have been cultivating and supporting U.S. Republican candidate Donald Trump for the last 5 years.
And,
Trump operation that was both supported and directed by Putin.
But you wait until you hear what Andrew Kerr has to say about those sources and how that report came about.
But it's so...
You're going to be amazed.
It's amazing to me what comes off as striking. And I've only read the first few pages because I'm trying to make sense of some of this stuff. It's so vague, and then it's so... I mean, they go from source A and B to, directed by Putin.
Yeah.
And, you know, Donald Trump they're so detailed in their timeline and their names, and they get into Clinton and this Kremlin, but then when they say where the information is coming from, it's always, you know, source A, B, C, D, E, F.
That's right.
So, and aside from vague references to being Russian, they don't.
You wait. It's folks, you just can't wait till you.
It doesn't strike me as any kind of intelligence briefing.
No, and you're going to be surprised to hear the pedigree of this information. You're going to it's just going to blow your mind based on the research. And
this is what good passes. Stuff. This kind of information passes for real intelligence briefings,
and we're,
if this kind of stuff has been
trouble.
Going on, yeah, we're in
big
trouble.
That's right, and perhaps we are. Folks, you're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report back in full force. Hagman and Hagman. Notice Hagman and so you're back in full force and on video. I want to thank you for your support. You know what, folks? Let me tell you something. We've doubled down on everything in terms of our efforts, our time, and certainly our equipment.
Didn't have a choice in that one.
Well, yeah, that's true, and we thank you for your support. And, you know, we wouldn't be here without you. If you like our program, please, we humbly ask that you, if you can, to support us so we can continue broadcasting. Trust me, you just don't know. It's really tough. We're going to be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Hagman and Hagman Report. With us, we've got citizen journalist extraordinaire Andrew Kerr. He has got some really incredibly... look, folks, you got to pay attention to what he's about to say. His article appears on HagmanReport.com. He's with us via Skype, via video. And go, Joe, I'm sorry?
In 1 second here, it'll be up on the site.
Okay, yeah, just momentarily. But folks, Andrew Kerr is with us, thecitizensaudit.com. I'm not sure if I screwed that up earlier, thecitizensaudit.com. Is that right, Andrew?
Yeah, thecitizensaudit.com.
Right, okay. Wow, second guessing myself there for a moment. Nonetheless, Andrew, there's been a lot of stuff going on. Talk about Andrew about Donald Trump and about Russians and about fake news. Although that's kind of secondary to the topic. To kind of fill people in on what's happened over the last 40 hours, why don't you do that coming out of the gate and telling people what your research has uncovered? I think we'll start there.
Yeah. So let's go over a rundown of what has taken place for the past 48 hours. It's a pretty extraordinary chain of events. So CNN reported Tuesday night that a former British MI6 agent was commissioned by anti-Trump Republicans during the primaries to conduct opposition research on Trump. Soon after that, intelligence officer began researching Trump's international business ties. He reportedly came across questionable information about Trump's businesses in Russia. This former MI6 agent documented his findings in a series of memos dated from June to December 2016 and then delivered them to an FBI official based in Rome. These 35 pages worth of memos eventually made its way to Senator John McCain, who, and I quote, upon examinations of the contents and unable to make a judgment about their accuracy, personally delivered the information to FBI Director James Comey. And then after receiving the memos, but prior to vetting the claims, U.S. officials last week presented the findings to top government officials as a part of their report on Russian disinformation efforts during the presidential campaign. These memos contained allegations that Trump committed perverted acts in a Russian hotel. That's the angle that most reporters are and most stories are focused on. But what's most concerning to me are the allegations that over the past 5 years, Trump has been supported and directed by Russian President Vladimir Putin for the purpose of sowing discord and disunity from within the United States. If true, that would mean that Donald Trump is essentially a Manchurian candidate for Russia and that he's guilty of treason. Mm. Now, when we consider the seriousness of these claims, and then we consider that they're sourced from a former, not an active MI6 agent, originally commissioned for opposition research, and then a United States senator then looked at these reports, gave it to intelligence officials, and they said, yeah, okay, we'll brief the President of the United States on these claims. It's really quite extraordinary. Since the report came out after CNN broke news of the existence of the report, BuzzFeed published the full 35-page document that they had obtained earlier so that Americans can make up their own minds about the allegations about the president-elect that circulated at the highest levels of U.S. government. And over the past 48 hours, it's become increasingly clear that the allegations made in this report are completely and utterly bogus, fake intelligence. The FBI is still investigating the credibility and accuracy of these allegations. CNN has not independently corroborated the specific allegations. The New York Times has been unable to report to confirm the claims and labeled the memos an unsubstantiated report. Politico couldn't corroborate the story. The Huffington Post found the allegations impossible to verify. The Guardian called the report unverified and potentially unverifiable. Chief Digital Officer for Condé Nast International wrote on Twitter, "Rare that a story stinks from every possible angle, the source, the content, the consequence, the messenger, the target." Russia immediately denied the claims. Donald Trump wrote in all caps that this is fake news, a total political witch hunt. And BuzzFeed editor Ben Smith, who even admitted that after BuzzFeed chased specific claims in this document for weeks, that there is serious reason to doubt the allegations, yet they published it anyway. So most news organizations and most opinion pieces that I've seen on this are condemning BuzzFeed and CNN for publishing this report in the first place, because it's quite clear, unverifiable, fake news. I'm not going to be trashing CNN or BuzzFeed, since there's a lot of other people that are taking that angle.
Sure.
Personally, I'm left incredibly concerned that the highest levels of government were briefed on these unsubstantiated claims in the first place. It's incredibly hypocritical, in my opinion, that despite all the fear-mongering over foreign fake news influencing the American electorate, the United States intelligence community appears to have no reservations at all on relying on unverified anonymous foreign intelligence.
Yeah, and that is concerning. Andrew, but I got to ask you this. Haven't the intelligence agencies and Donald Trump kind of been butting heads? And haven't they talked about getting revenge against Trump?
So that's one of the most concerning things about all this, is that the intelligence officials reportedly wanted to make a point to Donald Trump. When CNN originally broke this story, and this has been confirmed by numerous reports since, that intelligence officials decided to brief the president-elect and President Obama and top congressional officials on these unconfirmed claims for two reasons. One, to make Donald Trump aware that of the incredibly damning allegations that are circulating in D.C. about him, you know, that he's a Manchurian candidate. That's okay. I think that's okay to inform a presidential candidate or an incoming president of these crazy rumors. But two, they wanted to, quote, demonstrate to Trump that Russia had compiled information harmful to both parties, but decided only to release information relating to Hillary Clinton. So the top intelligence officials wanted to demonstrate a point. That's an extremely political thing to do for an American intelligence community that prides itself on being apolitical. Furthermore, Breitbart Jerusalem reported this afternoon that U.S. and United States and Israeli officials, a meeting took place between the two before the publication of these memos on Tuesday, that the memos weren't specifically mentioned to the Israelis, but the charge that Russian President Vladimir Putin had some sort of unspecified leverage over Trump was delivered to them. So not only is the intelligence community briefing the top decision makers in our government, they're actually taking this unsubstantiated report and delivering it, according to Breitbart, to Israeli sources as intelligence. It's incredibly concerning, and this is, I'm not concerned about fake news here, I'm concerned about fake intelligence. I mean, how can our leaders make good decisions if our intelligence community is prioritizing making a point to push their narrative instead of just delivering the facts? Why? I mean, I can't believe that.
I agree with you. Now, is this, in your view, is this incompetence or is this a deliberate attack, like Joe was alluding to earlier, you know, butting heads and such? If it's incompetence, I think everybody should be really worried.
Well, I mean, let's look at the sources. So, first of all, this was written by a former British intelligence agent, so he's not even active within the intelligence community anymore, and he's a foreign source. And when I looked through the memos, there are 7 sources listed, and they're all anonymous, unnamed Russian sources. So an inactive British intelligence officer drafted a series of intelligence memos based off the testimony of 7 anonymous Russian sources, many that are still allegedly active within the Kremlin. And instead of cross-referencing the claims before verifying their veracity, they delivered it to top intelligence officials. To me, it kind of does scream incompetence. Yeah. I don't know what else to say.
I mean, you've seen other intelligence briefings, I'm sure, or came across some that were publicized. And one of the things, after we talked earlier, I noticed was that how out of sync this looked. I mean, intelligence briefings seem, they're much more organized. They're much more professional.
Yeah, no, this didn't have any intelligence markings. It was actually riddled with spelling errors and grammatical errors. The whole thing really does stink from beginning to end.
And that's, I guess what I'm getting at is people who see these on a daily basis or create these, I would think, after looking at it, should instantly know that there was something fishy going on, with this one. Because, you know, the information from the sources is, about the sources is so vague at the same time. What they're saying in the times and the people, that's very detailed, you know, but there's no information given about these sources except vague references to different countries, intelligence agencies, and government operators.
These memos were actually, it was not a well-kept secret within the United States media and top levels of the government. Multiple news agencies actually obtained these memos before the November election. For instance, Julia Loth, a writer for Huffington Post, announced on Twitter after this broke that she asked, okay, fellow journalists, raise your hands if you too were approached with this story. I was. Now, the allegations in this report would make the left-wing media just kind of drool. And they wanted this to be true so bad. You can only imagine. And they had it before the election. Many journalists were kind of teasing that they were sitting on something, some allegations that are incredibly damning about Donald Trump and the Russians. But they never reported on it. They had months to verify the claims, but they couldn't report on it because it was impossible to corroborate the claims. Huffington Post, Politico, many other agencies, they had this, but they couldn't verify anything, so they didn't publish it. Because journalists thought that it was unethical to publish these claims. So if it's unethical for journalists to publish something, then how can we possibly be okay with the intelligence community presenting this as verified intelligence to the President of the United States? He could have made decisions based off of this. The implications of this are really quite concerning. And to be honest, it's kind of a shame that everybody's kind of pointing, the media is blasting CNN and BuzzFeed yesterday and today about this report, but I've seen very little about people questioning why this was delivered as part of an intelligence report to decision makers in the first place. That's much more concerning about a news agency, you know, putting out a report that people were briefed on this.
And there it is, Andrew. There it is. That's the main issue here. Why? And are you telling me, are you telling us, this is, I guess, a rhetorical question, but are you saying that this was actually presented as a factual briefing when, in fact, it was disproven, never proven, and it was bogus from day one? And if that's the case, what does that say about our intelligence agencies? And if that's not the case, what does that say about our intelligence agencies? Either way.
Well, it was just reported, really just a few hours ago, Vice President Joe Biden came out and said that he confirmed that he and President Obama were briefed last week on these unsubstantiated claims. And apparently, Obama said that, or Joe Biden said that Obama asked, what does this have to do with anything? So
that's pretty bad. Wow.
We've been seeing over the past couple of weeks, everybody is, you know, really hitting Donald Trump hard because he's making claims that it seems like he's questioning the intelligence community and how bad of a person Donald Trump is for questioning the intelligence community. The president of the United States was just briefed with bad intelligence and had to ask them during the intelligence briefing, what does this have to do with anything? But President Obama had to question our intelligence sources. This is not a left-wing or right-wing issue. We have, you know, the top leaders of our government are receiving intelligence and they're immediately questioning, saying, why are you giving me this? Why are you delivering unsubstantiated claims? What if Obama didn't, you know, smell that this story stunk right away and actually took it seriously? That's what kind of makes my heart sink about this, is that, you know, just a few weeks ago, the president expelled 35 Russian diplomats as a response for Russian interfering in our elections. What if he took this report seriously? What if he actually thought that, you know, Donald Trump was being blackmailed by the Russians and that he was an inside agent for the Russians? You know, he gets inaugurated in 9 days.
Yeah, that's a good point. And interesting, what you just pointed out. The presidents and they have to be able to trust their intelligence agencies. And especially if there's some kind of emergency or something that needs a decision right now, here's the briefing, here's what's going on, what do you want to do? Sometimes it's not always, they're not always able to vet the information. So that is a very big concern. But the one thing that, the few things that stick out to me, the John McCain, passing this letter or this, report to the FBI, do you think Trump saw this back when it first came out, or was briefed on this? Or I just don't see how this can be in all the newsrooms and, you know, not being published because people are unable to verify it. It's going to senators, different countries even. But, you know, he wouldn't be able to get that information that's being passed about him.
There's no indication that Trump was given this report prior to him. I mean, to the election or prior to this, you know, whole snafu over the past 48 hours. You know, we have to remember that these originated as opposition research documents against Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And this was supposed, there was a lot of people in the left-wing media that really wanted this to be the October surprise, it seems. And they worked really hard to try to verify the claims, and they couldn't because these are unverifiable claims.
And you remember the different people coming out and saying, oh, there's going to be big bombshells about Donald Trump.
Oh,
and,
this is the report
that originated from.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see. It's an anonymous British intelligence official. He's since been named, and apparently is, you know, trying to go underground. At the time, an unnamed ex-British intelligence official, relying on the testimony of 7 anonymous Russian sources. So we have an anonymous person reporting on anonymous claims, and then delivering this report. Of course, they can't verify.
And that's so much worse. I mean, when we talk about the alleged Russian interference in the U.S. elections. The only information that came out was, for the most part, was Hillary Clinton's own internal emails and her campaign staff's emails from the DNC and from John Podesta that were released. I mean, in their own words, in their own internal communications, that stuff was just released. It wouldn't matter if it was Julian Assange or, Angela Merkel who did it. It was just a transfer of valid information. It wasn't, you know, doctored reports or made up sources. So this is much worse. Even if Russia was behind the release of the emails, when I see that, it's just a trend. You know, the information was hacked and it was released to the public as is. This is just created out of whole cloth.
Yeah.
Okay, now, Andrew, this to me is the second half of this, and we all spoke before the broadcast, but what's, in your estimation, what's the blowback? Obviously, there's a cause and effect. Something is going to happen. I mean, what's going to happen now, given the fact, disproven, handled by the intelligence agencies, what's going to be the blowback from all of this, if any?
Well, here's where this story gets really strange. On Tuesday night, immediately after this report was dropped, an anonymous internet poster on the notorious website 4chan claimed that he fabricated one of the most alarming stories about the report, the one that details Trump bringing in Russian prostitutes into a Russian hotel, and that Russia had a tape of his actions and were blackmailing Trump with those tapes. He says that he made up that story almost word for word, and it somehow made it to the report published by BuzzFeed, the one that was briefed to the president and was circulating among decision makers. So, that rumor holds absolutely no credibility on its own, because again, it's just an anonymous poster. But there's a large number of people that are spreading this story over the internet, and it's gaining steam, and it's gone unchallenged by intelligence officials for almost 2 days now. And I think that it's just very concerning. And just the very thought that somebody could have potentially, as a joke, essentially create some, you know, Trump fan fiction, give it to a journalist, who that journalist then takes it seriously and then gives it to an expertish intelligence official, who then puts that into a report that ends up getting read to the President of the United States as part of an intelligence briefing. A, that's incredibly concerning that somebody could have essentially trolled the CIA, which is what they're claiming. And then B, yeah, what would be the pushback to that? If people are just making false stories on anonymous internet forums, and that ends up becoming part of an intelligence briefing, you know, we gotta keep in mind that, these same intelligence agencies that delivered this fake intelligence report were also authorized as part of a law that was signed a couple weeks ago to combat fake news. So these same organizations get to determine what is fake news and what's real news. And then they get to, quote, combat it, push their narrative. So how can Americans trust our intelligence agencies, if they deliver fake news to senior government officials? But how can we trust them to accurately determine what is fake news and what isn't? I think that this is the main takeaway for the story. It's funny to think that, you know, just an anonymous poster could have trolled the CIA. Some of the allegations they're spawning a lot of funny internet memes. I think this is really serious stuff that, either through gross incompetence or just a desire to stick it to the incoming president from the intelligence community. It's just so, I still can't wrap my head around it that this was actually delivered as part of an intelligence report.
And I don't believe for a second that it was incompetence. I think these people knew exactly what they were doing. Or they had an agenda, or still have an agenda, and they did this for a reason. Especially when you see, it's definitely concerning when you see, reading your article, you put it together very nicely, the kind of chain of events that led up to this report becoming known. There's a tweet you have in the article from an Adam Goldman from the New York Times who talks about how this happens. CNN find ways to talk about the report, and BuzzFeed uses that as a reason to publish it. Media critics are going to be busy. But it's interesting to see, you also point out in the article, CNN did not independently corroborate the specific allegations. At the same time, they didn't reference the article, but obviously that gave BuzzFeed, you know, they thought that since CNN had mentioned it, that it was okay to put it out there. But
Because a lot of these news groups, they had this story, and you got to imagine that they're looking for any excuse possible to release this, because they failed for months to verify the claims. And so once CNN announced the existence of this report, then BuzzFeed got the go ahead essentially to, that's our excuse to publish this.
Yeah, and what you said earlier about Russia, the intelligence agencies wanting to show Trump that it wasn't just the left or Hillary Clinton that was being messed with by Russians. They're trying to prove a point, I think it was the word you used. That's very concerning, because if you look at this as this not being a coincidence, as not being gross negligence, and then, you know, the revenge aspect of how Trump, you know, really destroyed the credibility of a lot of people in the government who were trying to keep him from becoming the president and wanted Hillary Clinton to get in. This all just stinks of a shadow government, you know, a psyop against Trump and the people who support him.
Yeah, you know, absolutely, that's a possibility. And I think just on a, you know, on a higher level, just concern about the credibility of the intelligence community. I don't want to be having to question the intelligence community. We should be able to trust our the intelligence community.
I totally agree with you on that. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. You know, the Soviet Russia used the KGB to control its citizens. You know, that was the Soviet equivalent of, you know, the CIA, the FBI.
Right.
To bring down their people.
And you did well in pointing out in your previous article, about the NDAA, page 547, I believe it was, about the propaganda. You did very well with that. So, I don't believe in coincidences, and I certainly don't believe this was a coincidence. Any thoughts on the timing of this? I just don't.
Well, you know, it really brings up the question for me. What else have they been feeding the president and top decision makers? Are they frequently adding in unverifiable claims in an effort to prove a point, to push a narrative, instead of, you know, because we got to think they delivered this as part of the overall intelligence report. So they probably had, you know, let's think 90% of the report was, you know, good, honest, legit intelligence. And then they wanted to, you know, just make that extra point. And so they added these unverified claims from a foreign source so they can make their point. How often are they doing that? Why
Pretty
is
often,
the intelligence?
I would believe.
Yeah. Why is the intelligence community trying to push a narrative or prove points instead of just delivering the facts? You know, it just, why is this, why is the American intelligence community acting political? I thought that they were an apolitical organization. In fact, of all the government agencies, I'd want I'd say it's most important that the intelligence community is the most apolitical of all of them. Because, I mean, information is powerful. You can influence people to go to wars over bad information. We went to Iraq due to the WMD claims. Mm-hmm. The Gulf of Tonkin incident, many consider that to be fake intelligence that led us into the Vietnam War. And all, you know, over 50,000 Americans died as a result of that conflict. It was potentially pushed, we were pushed into that conflict because of, because of fake intelligence, essentially. So,
every conflict seems to start this way with our country.
Yeah, so we should be, you know, pushing for legit intelligence. The intelligence community is losing the trust of not only the incoming president, but of the American people. And I think that it's just concerning. And, they need to earn our trust back. Because right now I'm having a hard time trusting anything that they say now.
Absolutely. Folks, we're talking with Andrew Kerr from thecitizenaudit.com. Check out his latest story, Is Fake Intelligence Influencing Decision Makers at the Highest Levels of Government? Andrew, thanks for joining us tonight.
Yeah,
thanks
God
for
bless, brother.
Thank you.
We'll talk again soon.
Wow.
When we come back.
Yeah, that's great.
Brandon House from worldviewweekend.com. Stay
talking
with us.
Talking geopolitics.